We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
I'm excited y'all are here because tonight is our youth takeover night, and you've got to see some of our stuff a little bit. We've got youth members. Hopefully they met you at the door and they shook your hand and welcomed you in. We've got youth back there working sound. We've got youth helping out on the camera. We've got James back there on the sticks back there working it. He's giving me thumbs up, so we're good. I'm looking good up here for him. We're just going to roll. But before I really talk about what I want to talk about tonight, as the youth pastor, it's an impossibility for me to really speak from any capacity without first saying thank you to my team that lets me and helps me do everything that we're trying to do with our team. We've got Michael and Jamie Chastain, Braden and Jess Bettinger, Isaac and Joanna Reese, Kelly and Deanne Daniel, Desmond Roy, Glenn Fancher, and of course my wife. Guys, I couldn't do it without you, and so from me, I just want to tell you guys thank you. Our church is blessed because of y'all's service, and you know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, it's just youth ministry. It's really not that big of it is a huge commitment. And on top of all of them, we also have another team of individuals that's really, honestly, it's just too numerous for me to count, that because so many of my team is you know, they're married couples and they believe in being fruitful and multiplying and getting more and more kids, before too long we've got, you know, 13 kids, babies that aren't even in youth that we're... Well, we need some people to watch them while we're doing it, and we've got a huge team that watches our kids that allows us to serve at the fullest, and that is a huge, huge undertaking, and so I'm just so thankful to that team and to my team, what I want you to know, church, is that what it takes to have youth on a Sunday night, it's we're not just, oh, well, we'll roll a ball out here and we'll get some youth. No, it's a huge, huge undertaking of what we do. There's a lot of thought that goes into it, a lot of planning that goes into it, and there's a lot of moving parts, but what we accomplish in a youth service, I believe, is pretty awesome. And I really do my best to try to approach my youth pastoring in kind of a, you know, a loving, gentle way, you know, with the kids. I'm just so nurturing. And I care so much about their feelings, and you know, no, a lot of my approach, honestly, is from an older brother mentality, you know, maybe an older, because I see them so often. I'm in their life with them, either going to the school or doing different things. I can't help but feel care for them. I want them to succeed, and but it's because I see the importance of the youth that I take my job so seriously. And the reason why is because outside of my own parents, the first real relationship that I had with someone that really ministered who God was to me was a youth pastor. And what I want you to hear first, parents, is parents, you're their first youth pastor. Don't, we mess it up by trying to throw and put all of the responsibility on the church. Parents, you're their first youth pastor. So before they get to me, don't be blaming me if I can't get them turned around. I'm only with them. But I take it seriously, because not that I didn't respect my head pastor or know who my head pastor was as a young man or as a youth, but what the youth pastor did by spending time with me, investing in me, loving on me, hanging out with me, and then teaching me solid word. And what I heard all the time whenever I was around him or at his house, he's exalting the head pastor. He's talking about why we need to be committed to church. He lived out what my parents had already set up as, oh, this is important. Being in church is important. Serving in church is important. And so I know how big of an impact that had on me. I say this all the time to the youth. I'm not in there to preach you a message that I wouldn't stand up in front of the congregation and preach. Because God's not waiting for them to turn 25. Okay, now we can do something with these kids. Now we can. No, that's not. God's not waiting. There's not a junior Holy Spirit. There's not a high school Holy Spirit. He's ready to pour himself out. And what you guys need to know, and what I pray that you guys are seeing, is we have hungry kids who are excited about what God's doing. And the second reason why I take my job so seriously is also because I have a little bit of an ulterior motive behind it. I'm smart enough to know that as time moves on, eventually they will be in the position up here, out there, and in 10, 12, 15 years, my children will be in their position. So why wouldn't I want to do everything that I could to equip them to the capacity at which they're ready to receive right now, and then I believe that God is ready for them to receive right now, knowing that one day they're going to be right here telling my kid, showing my kid, my kids are going to be sitting where they're at, looking up to them, going, boy, I want to be just like, boy, I want to be able to act just like, I want to love God just like, because I don't know if y'all remember being younger, but didn't y'all have somebody that y'all looked up to? It's important. This is not a small thing. Kids grow. And they become teenagers. And we treat sometimes those teenage years as though it's like, oh my gosh, these darn kids. I'm thankful that in this church that's not the culture that we have. Absolutely. We're not teaching that culture. This church invests in our youth. We have a pastor that believes in investing in our youth. And what I try to do with the youth is I try to reciprocate that. We're not going, them darn old people. Yeah. Because here's the deal. That we ain't got no money. When you're young, you ain't got no money. You better start learning to respect some of them old people because they're the ones that got all the smarts and they're the ones that got all the money. If for any other reason. I'm kidding, but at the same time, it's a cherishing and a respecting one for the other. We understand it, and we have to have that biblical understanding as we are investing and developing our youth. You know, it's actually in the vision of our youth group, which is this, the vision of CM Youth. This is something that Hannah and I put together, and it's very, very eerily similar to the vision of our church, is to minister to the family by discipling the youth through the teaching of the Word of God and its complete truth and life-giving power. See, our church's thing is the family. And every church has a thing. But what CM Church is about is the family. So what we're going to do in the youth group, you better believe, is disciple them and teach them with the complete power of the Word of God. And one of the things that we put together in that is every single event, every sermon, every hangout time, girls' night, guys' night, New Year's Eve party that goes till whatever. We have to come back. Does it fit our vision that is not separate from our church? Does it fit our vision and does it rest on one of our four pillars that we have for our youth group? And our four pillars are spiritual growth, godly relationships, life skills, and leadership qualities. Does it fall in? I'm all about having fun. I'm all about having a good time. There are things that we do. We'll have the guys over. We'll shoot skeet. We'll cook out. We'll do all kinds. But if it doesn't grow them spiritually, if it's not working in their relationships, if it's not teaching them something, why are we doing it? If we're going to have a girls' night and all it is a gossip session, and we're not guarding that and protecting that, what are we doing with our youth group? We're just creating an environment for sin to abound, not godly things. And so I want you just to understand, this is a big deal for me. And in doing so, because I'm with them all the time, and whether it's Sunday or whether it's at the school or whether it's trying to hang out or go to dinner or go to lunch or go to breakfast with some of these kids or doing something, all the time, because I'm focusing on what we're trying to do, there are things that God reveals to me and He refreshes me in as I watch them grow and live their lives. And it's so important that we who are older don't despise or look down upon those that are younger. Now, again, please hear me. I'm not trying, this isn't just a, man, our youth, they're just all, they're perfect kids. No, because we're not perfect either. But the idea is whenever I'm invested in what God's trying to do as their youth pastor, it's so easy for me to see and remember back to, gosh, I remember whenever I was there. know, it's easy for me to be 30 and not worry about who I'm marrying. Oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about getting married. Don't worry about, I'm married. I don't even worry. But I remember being insecure about that. I remember thinking, is God really going to come through for me here? Because I hadn't lived to that point yet. That's why they need us to talk about the, and here's the deal, we ought to know the answers. We ought to be, I mean, some of us are twice as old, more than twice as old as some of these kids. Some of y'all three or four times as old as these kids. We better have the answers. However, we can't be moved to the place where we can't look at their lives and either remember back to when or look at it and go, there's that fresh fire. They just had that breakthrough. Man, look at them worship. Man, look at them serving God. You got Zoe and Micah up here. You can't not see the joy of the Lord in them. Now, let me tell you, Micah and Zoe's lives haven't just been just all the time perfect and nothing bad's ever happened to them. But they don't walk by the circumstances that they've gone through. They walk by the power and the love and the knowledge of who God is in their life. And I could go down every single part. I'm just saying, if we live in this place where I can't ever learn from anything from these kids, I think we're missing something. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to give you four things. Four things that I've observed in spending time with the youth, whether that's at the school, whether that's at youth, whether it's whatever. And what I pray is, what you'll see is, in observing these four things that I believe our youth have, it will open up to you four godly happenings in your life. So if you'll do these four things, four godly doors will be open to you. So it'll lead you to something. So here we go. First thing, let's get equipped here. The first thing that I see these kids walking in and learning to walk in more is reverence. They're learning reverence. And when we learn reverence and we have reverence, it leads us to an acceptance of the word or the seed of God. We're trying to grow things of God in our life, and we're not having reverence for the word of God when it's spoken. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but we have the chairs in this sanctuary set up facing this so that it's easy for you to see and hear what's going on in here. We don't have everybody turned around facing backward. The reason why is so that when you're in here, you can hear what's being said. And it's not about, well, Chapman's speaking, so come hear me. The word of God is being. When we're worshiping God. There's a reason why we don't put all the chairs out there in the foyer, shut the doors, and then have service in here. There's a reverence for what's going on so that we can put ourselves in position to accept the word. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." See, sometimes we get moved to a place because of mercy that we've been blessed with, we lose our fear and our reverence for the Lord. We've been in this save thing for a long time. I know the mercy that's, I know God is, I know what God will do. And what we get to places, we lose that fear and trembling that we should be walking our salvation out with. You know, it just came into my head, you know, Pastor Tim talking about, it doesn't matter how many times he's read Psalm 23, when he reads that the Lord is his shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, when the word of God is going out, if we'll put ourselves in position because of reverence for what's going on, it gives us an opportunity again for that word to minister something to us. And if we're so busy looking at these kids, oh, I've heard that message. I can't believe they're letting that word do that. They just don't have the depth about them about that word. Well, I could teach them six other ways of how that scripture should be. Can you just not let, they have found out a revelation of God. And if you'd have a little bit more reverence for the word, that might actually be doing something new. When your youth comes home or when your kid comes home telling you about what God did and what word, is your first response to stop and ponder and listen and let that meditate to you? Or is it to go, well, I've heard that before? it's just so hard, especially the longer that we're in this. We get to a position where because of God's mercy, we forget the reverence that we should have. John 3:30 says, he must become greater and I must become less. We respect God. We honor God. And sometimes we can get moved to that place where we lose that. And it happens with the youth. But it happens with us too. We just talk to God like he's just, you know, old buddy, old pal. And while, again, we have been called friends of God, that's still the Almighty. That's the Omnipotent, the Everlasting One, the Alpha and the Omega. Both, who are you talking to? Now, again, I'm not saying you got to change your voice and you don't got to change how you're praying because you got to put on airs. We are real with God, but we've got to have real respect and honor and reverence for who he is. Respect is to honor for the authority and the wisdom that one has. Do you respect who God is and the authority and the wisdom that he has? Or is that just, that's one of them things. Once you've been saved for a little while, we get moved to a place where without that, the word can't do a work within us. The seed can't go deep in us. Boy, I really hope this Sunday Chapman really gets deep on the word because, man, we just ain't been getting deep enough in the word. Now, hear me. I want to go deep in the word. But can you just not let the word of God work in your life, or does something got to be deep every time? You don't need a deeper word. You need another helping of that if that's how you're thinking. Oh, we just got to go deeper. No, you got to get some respect and some reverence. Mark 4, verses 3 through 9, it talks about the farmer going out to sow his seed and the different soils. Reverence for God prepares the soil of your heart to receive that word. And if you're not going to have reverence for it, you're not going to receive it very well. That first point there, we've got to have reverence, which leads to our acceptance of the word or the seed. Second thing in watching these kids and watching how they're learning how to live their lives is the second point that I see a lot is learning how to surrender. And if we'll learn to surrender, it will open the door to abiding in him. You know, people trying to abide in God without surrendering to God, and it's maddening. Their lives are maddening. It's an impossibility. You can't abide in God without surrendering your life to him. It won't happen. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, if you want to abide in me, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. None of that in there has anything to do with do what you want, and then I'll just come meet you wherever you're at. Hey, tell me where you're going to be, and I'll just come meet you wherever you're at. Apart from God, we can do nothing. Well, if we're wanting to abide in God, then we've got to learn how to surrender our lives and our will and take. That's what I watch these kids as they're learning that process. We've got to remember, and I'm thankful that God didn't see me at 16 and go, that's a completed product. Well, that's a completed product at 16. No, God knew that I was still learning how to surrender. And he didn't write me off because I didn't get it the first time. Or the second time. Or the 33rd time. Oh, I just wish these kids would just learn. Well, how many knots on the head did it take us? Yeah, I sure wish we'd learned to surrender the first time too. God's up there shaking and agreeing with you. Yeah, I sure, you're 40-something. I sure wish you'd figure that out. We've got to learn to take up his cross so that we can abide in him. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Humble yourself. Quit asking God to humble himself to get on your page. No, you get on God's page so that you can abide in him. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. It's not the other way around. We're not asking God to be a part off of our life. No, what we're saying is, God, let me be a part of you. You're the source. You're the vine. I'm not looking to We've got to abide in him, not the other way around. We got to quit asking for God's participation and start asking for God's permission. We're asking for God's participation. God, meet me where I'm at. Come do what I'm... God, I can't understand why you're never where I'm at. You're not surrendering. And if you'd have just asked for his permission before you decided to do what you was wanting to do, you'd find him participating a whole lot more in whatever it is that you're doing because he's right there with you. Boy, that's such an easier, peaceful place to be. And how will we abide in him? We'll abide in him in what we allow in us. We'll abide in him in how we speak. And we'll abide in him in how we think. Now, you can almost break down every single failure in our society to what we allow in us, what we speak, and what we think. Everything breaks down to a failure in one of those areas. We need to abide in God. The only way we do that is through surrender. So surrender so that we can abide in God. The third thing I see in these kids, and I see the door that's opened, is when they are getting, once we get confidence in God and the places that we have confidence in God, it leads to the same as the amount of peace that we have in God. So where we have confidence in God is equivalent to how much peace we have in God. We've got to grow in our confidence in who God is. There's a knowing. We're trying to build our confidence outside of the things of God. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't vote. I think it's important. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about our economy. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about the way that things are going in this. But if we're all the time stressing out and straining over trying to collectively make things outside of God be our confidence, and we're teaching that to our youth, what we're not teaching them is how they can just have peace. Got to have confidence in God. Exodus 4, love this story. Exodus 4, verse 10. You know, God's kind of calling Moses a little bit here. Not somebody trying to tell Moses that God said. God's literally calling Moses. And Moses got some questions about God's call here. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord, but I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and tongue." God wasn't going, "Oh, dang, I wasn't thinking about that. Ooh, wrong, I picked the wrong guy." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go and I'll help you and will teach you what to say." "Pardon your servant, my Lord. Please send someone else." He's very polite about it. He didn't have confidence. Moses didn't. It was God of the universe. And you can almost feel the awkward tension in this story. It's palpable. It's heavy. So uncomfortable whenever God calls you and you're just not so confident in God's ability to pick people to do things. Hey God, I know you're omnipotent, but did you think about this? It says, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak.'" We got to get to a place where we're not causing the Lord's anger to burn against us, because, "Oh, 1,000 pardons, my Lord, but I ain't it. Pass me on over with that 'forgive my neighbor,' or 'forgive my,' pass me on over. I'm sorry, my Lord, that ain't me. I'm sorry, God, to come up and to pray over somebody. I just don't have peace there." It's because you don't have confidence in God there. It's just because you don't have confidence. We're all trying to step out onto new things and do things, and we're watching people fail or watch people succeed, and we don't know whether or not if we're supposed to step out of the boat or not. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, call me out." Why did he do that? Because he knew if God was the one that called him out, he'd walk on that water. I'll walk where God tells me to walk. And even though it's an impossibility to the laws of man to be able to walk on top of water, if he tells me I can do it, I can do it, because Peter had full confidence. We got to be like that. We got to grow in our confidence. We got to grow in our confidence. And as we do, that peace will begin to overflow in our hearts and our minds. And we have to have that power from the Holy Spirit to be able to be in that place, regardless of what the outside circumstances are. I have peace. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." If you didn't hear me, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all." I always have a hard time seeing people being gentle when they're not at peace. People freaking out, because everything's an emergency and they're getting short with people, and we got to run people off the road because, hey, you got to rush this. Hey. Oh, settle down. Is God still on his throne, or did I miss the memo that he's not there yet? "Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition." See, we get that every situation's a big deal. We just don't want to pray about it. You know, it's kind of like I talked about last week. All we can do is pray to the creator of the universe. All we can do is pray to the one who formed me in my mother's womb and who knows everything and has all power to do all miracles, and best we can do. "With thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Once you do all that and you have confidence in who God is, guess what will happen? "And the peace of God," which transcends, that means goes beyond. What does it go beyond? All understanding. It doesn't make any sense why I'm not wigging out about this. It doesn't make any sense why I don't know why I'm not getting torn to pieces, because the guy that I voted for to win and be the president ain't going to be the president. That's not who I would want to pick. I'm not getting torn. And then we're not getting torn to pieces whenever the team that we want to win in March Madness don't win. So we're getting torn to pieces over this silly stuff, let alone things that actually matter. We're torn to pieces when you go down to the restaurant and you order some chicken and every single piece of it's raw. We're just torn to pieces over that. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to eat raw chicken. I throw it away. But that doesn't ruin. You get what I'm saying? We get torn to pieces. Our day's ruined. It shouldn't be. Because today is the day that the Lord's made. And I love seeing our kids tear off and tear out of those insecurities. That's so cool for me. When the kids get to a place where they're not worried about who's watching them worship, when they're not worried about who's watching them pray in the Spirit, when they're not worried about who's watching them whenever they're going to go pray over somebody from another team or another, they know that God is who he says he is. And the last thing, last point here before I close, and this is so cool because, again, I think as adults, we've got to learn this. We've got to learn to embrace our season that we're in. And when we do that, what it does is it leads to us shining fully for God. We talk about all the time, the kids all the time are always looking for the next. You know, when you're 14, you're thinking about driving. When you're driving, you're thinking about getting out of high school. When you're thinking about getting out of high school, you're thinking about getting married. When you're having kids. And all the time we're thinking about next. Well, some of us older people aren't embracing the season that we're in right now. And we're going backwards. And I'll be honest, I still every now and then, I find myself not embracing the season that I'm in, and I still think I can get out there and play like I used to. Especially being a youth pastor, you know, I can still put it on these kids. You know, what are we playing? Volleyball, what are we playing? Hacky sack, what are we playing? And we don't play hacky sack. I don't even know why I said that. Just lied up here. Basketball, what are we playing? And let me just tell you, because I don't fully embrace it, either I got to try too hard to win now and look like a heel because I'm pushing kids down to make a layup or ruining my witness, or I'm getting so frustrated and I end up hurting myself the next day. And if we just embrace the season that we're in, you gradually embrace the season that you're in. Learn. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." What a word. There's a season for everything. There was a word that was given over our kids that are spring advance, and Kana was actually talking about, sometimes we use that word teenager like it's a dirty word. God knew that you were going to be between the ages of 12 and 20. And there's going to be a teen on the end of that number. Just wait till they become teenagers. Why don't you just teach them to embrace the season that they're in? That they're at a place where they're between a child and an adult, and God created this time where the chemicals in their body, they are learning to control themselves. As every single person in here has had to learn how to do. I just can't control myself. Well, you should have learned how to do that. You're not an animal. Embrace the season that you're in. Parents, embrace the season that your kids are in and teach them. It's a godly thing. It's a godly thing. These daggum kids. Listen to their music. Driving their cars. Well, we was all there at one point in time, and we had to learn the difference between being responsible. It's part of the process. We've got to embrace it. That's not to give an excuse, but there is a season for everything. I know plenty of adults that don't get the season that they're in. And they feel like, oh, turn 40, now I got to go out and get a whole mess of tattoos and drive a motorcycle and ride the black leather jacket on because that... Slick whatever hair back I've got with the... Just embrace the season that you're in. Just embrace it. We get so caught up, and then we get moved to a place where we're not able to shine because we're trying to become something that we're not too early or too late. Because our focus is in our appearance and not in who God intended for us to be in that season. And we're trying to reflect culture, worldly culture, expectation of culture, instead of kingdom. And when we just learn to embrace the season that we're in, it just comes with such peace. Because whether we're waiting or whether we're doing, we know that God's with us. Either God is preparing an opportunity for me in my waiting, or He's preparing me for an opportunity in my waiting. I'm not anxious. That doesn't mean I sit here and I twiddle my thumbs and I, God, what are we going to do? I do what I've been diligent to do up to this point. I'm growing. And anybody who's ever measured a kid up on the door frame, it's not every day that you're marking that marker up. It's a process. I'm being grown and I'm being prepared by God's Spirit, therefore I wait. And in that, in accomplishing that, I fully embrace shining as brightly as God intended me to do in this season. 1 John 1:5-7 says, "This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. When we accept the season that we're in, we walk with him. Because we're not rebelling against who God intended for us to be in that moment. God is light. And we don't let the circumstances of things that happen to us shake us. Because when it's talking about the darkness, that's just anything that separates us from God. It's not doing hardcore drugs. It's I'm trying to become like the culture. I'm trying to become something that God didn't intend for me to be. Sometimes that looks like, well, this church isn't where I better not go there. That pastor's not saying what I want him to say. They're not teaching what I want. God's trying to tell you, you need to wait and embrace. Don't lose sight of the light. 1 John 2:11, or else we'll become like this. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. We get moved to a place because we can't embrace where God has us, that we're rejecting the light and our darkness blinds us because we think that we're where we need to be. And it's or we're trying to prove to somebody else. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I was a kid, I always felt like I needed to prove myself. I always needed to prove myself. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to live according to the faith that I've been called to, but I always felt like I was trying to prove if I just do good enough, then, and I love what Galatians 1 verse 10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? You know, if I were still just trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's just such an important, it's an important message for our kids. It's an important message for us as leaders. It's an important message for us, just people that are trying to live how Christ wants us to live. My life isn't about pleasing people. It's about pleasing God. And the way I please God is by reflecting and shining the light that he's placed on the inside of me. And the way that I do that is that I embrace the season that I'm in. I don't run from it. I don't shy away from it. Rather, I embrace it and I please God, and I'm not worried about who I displease so long as I'm pleasing God. In closing, I want to say this. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. You want to know how a nation is moved to being blessed? By a generation accepting the report of the Lord and teaching the next generation to do the same. You know, I've also got something else to confess. I don't normally steal sermons. But tonight, my 4 points and their sub-points were all pulled from 8 individual morning assembly messages that our youth gave at our school. Man, that's great. James, Aubrey, Dale, Zoe, Micah, Jolie, Gwen, and Delaney all gave these messages to our school. And I said, our church needs to hear from you guys. And that's all my 4 points were their sermons. We're raising up, yeah. We're raising up a generation that doesn't just parrot what they hear. Rather, they reflect upon what the Word of God gives them, and then they're able to deliver. See, this is the generation that creates. This is the generation that opens up the. It's a young generation seeing the importance of serving God and his people. I don't ever want to hear our people say, well, them dang old kids, they're acting like kids. No, you must not know how bright the future is at CMC. Well, how? Because we've got a group of young people in this church that aren't satisfied with sitting down and rolling their eyes at the word of God as it's given. They're standing up. They're not just leaned up, propped up. We're not, oh, we've got to carry them and make them. No, they are growing in the Spirit of God themselves. See, you must not know. You must not have ever seen Levi Meese work with the young kids. Or watch the faithful. You may not know this, but every single Wednesday night, the youth set up all these chairs. You must not have seen Zoe and Micah up here full of the joy of the Lord. You must not have never seen Lainey Mulder pray in the Spirit. You may not have known that last week on Good Friday, Hunter Driscoll, Aiden Hathaway, Dale Burton, Bobby Lindholm, Lance Schoengert, they carried a cross in Republic from one side of Republic all the way across the other side of Republic because they wanted people to know Sunday's on the way. I'm telling you, you've never had Landon Goldsmith have to come over and help you with something because he'll work circles around two grown men. Our youth are different here. They're just different here. And I could go down the line. We've got our public school kids. We've got our homeschool kids. We've got, you know, Brenna Markham is going to be leading a Bible study. She's leading a Bible study at Republic in the public school. These kids are not just okay with, well, my mama and daddy go to church, and my grandma, she went to church, and so, well. What I pray is, as we're encouraging, we're loving on these youth, I pray that your eyes are open to what God's doing through them. Because he's moving in a mighty way, and it's because of the investment that this church makes. But parents, grandparents, it's the investment that you made. We got to continue that and grow this. Amen.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.